From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to CrozierCast. I'm Director of Communications Suzanne Hammonds, and with me as always is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you?
Very good. So, today we are going to talk about pilgrimage. It's sort of the time of year for people who want to make a pilgrimage or have been thinking about it, whether it's outside the country, inside the country, and because you just recently came off of a new pilgrimage that you undertook.
I did. I found this a couple years ago. It's one I'd never heard of. I walked St. Cuthbert's Way, which is it's about 100 kilometers, and it starts in Scotland, and it walks into England, and then it makes its way out to an old monastery. To a place that they call the Holy Island or Holy Isle.
Wow. So, how did you find out about this?
That's a good question. When you make pilgrimages, especially walking pilgrimages, you start to build up this little bit of community. And you know, I've walked, right as of now, walked 840 miles over five pilgrimages in Spain on the Camino. I've done all of that mileage with Archbishop Paul Coakley from Oklahoma City, and part of that mileage I've done with Bishop Conley from Diocese of Lincoln. And so another good friend of mine walked the entire French Way, Father Burke Masters. And so you build up this little bit of community, and you find things, and you start passing them on to one another. And I don't know how I found it. I'm sure somebody passed it on to me. But what I did was, about a year and a half ago, I reached out to these three guys and I said, what do you think about this in the summer of 2023? And immediately all three of them said, let's do it. Yeah. So we were all pretty excited.
And now in the show notes, we can link to an article from the people at the Pillar, a Catholic site, with pictures and everything. But it sounded like it was actually harder in some ways than the Camino.
In some ways, yes, because, you know, the Camino is so well traveled, and when you're walking on the Camino, especially the French Way, which is the most popular way, you see people everywhere. There's places to stop for something to eat, especially coffee. Coffee obviously is very important when you're walking.
Oh yeah.
You know 15 to 20 miles a day, and so on St. Cuthbert's Way, you don't find those things. And even in the, we found a really good guidebook. Even in the guidebook that we used, it said that there would be places to get things. Everything was closed. It was probably closed because it was the summer months too.
Yeah.
But the villages you walk into are just tiny, tiny little places, and so that made it a little difficult, a little different and a little difficult. And it's marked, but it's not marked as well as I would say the Camino would be, because you have, every time you turn around, there's a yellow arrow that helps you to figure out your way. Where they have these small little white circles at St. Cuthbert's Way with an arrow pointing. And you can walk St. Cuthbert's Way both ways. You can start at Melrose Abbey and go to the Holy Island, or you can start at Holy Island and go to Melrose Abbey. So there are generally two circles, one pointing one way and one pointing the other way. We got confused a couple times. And I thank God for guidebooks. But it's just not marked as well. But you're walking along on paths that aren't necessarily even. And the little single tracks that you're walking on are much, much more narrow than what we're used to. And so you might be stepping down and stepping up, stepping down, stepping up. One day we got off the track a little bit. We were walking parallel to the track, but we ended up walking in grass that was probably chest to waist high, and that was it rained for about 4 or 5 hours, and we walked in that. And so by the time we made it to our destination that day, our stopping point for that day, you just literally were pouring water out of your shoes. And so it was very, very different, because like I said, I've walked on the Camino in Spain, 840 miles, and I've had one day where I had a little bit of drizzle, that was it. But we usually walk in August, too, where it's nice and hot. But the um, But in Scotland and Northumbria, that's where we were walking, the part of England, it's not uncommon to get rain and get lots of rain.
Oh yeah.
So it was difficult in that. So it wasn't as easy to find, but after a day or two, we started to get the rhythm of it, and then it made it much easier after that. And it's not as well traveled as some of the other places are, but I've never seen anything prettier in my life. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, I loved it.
No, I'm curious because people in the, you know, along the Camino tend to know, like the villages know that it's there and what pilgrims are doing. Did you run into many people in St. Cuthbert's Way who were just kind of astounded at what you were doing?
We ran into, quite a few people where you stay,
yeah,
you know, in the towns where you are, and they all know about St. Cuthbert's Way. But the difference was that not very many people are making it for religious purposes. We didn't speak to a single person that was making it for a religious purpose. I guess hiking, these walks across the UK are very, very popular, and they have them all over the place. And the four of us, I think we were the only ones that were really making it, at least, that's, you know, the people we spoke with, that were making it for a religious purpose. But we felt really, really drawn to it.
Yeah, and I hope that in some way that might, you know, plant a seed with somebody at some point too, you know. So you've made other, well, maybe we talk about what a pilgrimage is, because do you have to walk almost 1,000 miles to make a true pilgrimage, or what can people do if they want to make one?
Yeah, there's all sorts of different pilgrimages. So I think about some of the pilgrimages that I've made. I've made a pilgrimage to Mexico City a couple times, to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and obviously I didn't walk down there,
yeah,
but I flew down there, and I was able to go to the shrine and pray at the shrine of where they have the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm getting ready to lead a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and obviously you don't walk there either, but you fly over there. We generally land in Tel Aviv and make our way up to Galilee, spend a few days there, and then make our way back down to Jerusalem and spend a few days there and see some of the sites. So most of that pilgrimage will be on a bus, going for different holy places. I have a pilgrimage coming up in the footsteps of St. Paul.
Oh, wow.
So beginning in Greece, ending in Turkey, and the beginning of that will be on bus, but the last part of that will be on a boat.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so there's those are different pilgrimages that I've done. Here in the state of New Mexico, every Good Friday there's the famous pilgrimage walk all the way to Chimayo. I think in Kansas, you know, yearly they have the walk, the Father Capon,
mm-hmm,
walk, and so there you can do pilgrimages in different ways. You can do them by bus, you can do them by plane, you can do them walking. I really, if I can, I really prefer the walking. We found out last year that in the Holy Land there is a walk that begins, I think it begins in Nazareth, mm, and it goes to the Sea of Galilee, and it's called the Jesus Way or something like that.
Right.
And it's getting a little more popular, and so obviously I want to do that.
I love my
preference, if I can, my preference is to walk.
Yeah. What would you say, so the spiritual component of it, for those who would like to make a pilgrimage, maybe they've made some before and want to get more and are looking forward to some in the future, maybe they've never made a pilgrimage. So what would you recommend that they do when they are looking to make a pilgrimage?
Well, I think first and foremost to realize that it is a spiritual movement of the heart, right? It's a pilgrimage, really is a movement toward with Jesus Christ. If you're walking, you're on a bus, you're in a plane, whatever, that movement forward is always a movement forward with Jesus Christ. So I think to be conscious of that is something that's very, very important. Very different than just to take a trip or to go on a vacation. It doesn't mean that, you know, you could do this the entire time, you're not going to talk, or the entire time it's going to be this, you know, almost like a very Lenten experience or a Good Friday experience or something like that. It doesn't necessarily mean that. So it can take on a whole form, whatever I think form that you would like it to take on. You know, when you're walking a pilgrimage, it can there's a kind of a penitential element that can come into that because you're physically feeling that. And so you can be conscious of doing that. I remember one year when we were walking along, I was walking along with Archbishop Coakley, and my feet were killing me that day. And just for some reason they were. There was a one year on all my walks I had a lot of blister problems, and I was just about ready to complain. It was a Sunday morning, and Archbishop Coakley, out of nowhere, just we'd been walking for maybe an hour or two in silence, and he said, "Isn't it amazing how we can have these little hurts, like our feet can be hurting or our body can be hurting, and how we can offer it up?" And then there's people who have like terminal diseases or, you know, some sort of disability that they'll have throughout their entire life. But isn't that amazing? And I just about ready to complain. I thought, well, I think his guardian angel, the Holy Spirit, was moving him to say this, to share this with me. And so, yeah, I was thinking about that one. I love to walk, and you can make it a very penitential experience if you like. And then the other great thing on a pilgrimage, too, is you always get a chance to evangelize. People ask what you're doing. You tell them, and you can tell them why you're doing. And obviously the answer is always Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Have you noticed that people that you encounter along these pilgrimages, especially the ones who aren't doing it for a religious reason, do they tend to be sort of open to what you tell them along the way? You know?
Yeah, they do. When you're walking, you generally see the same people because you're walking, you know, 10 to 15 miles a day, and you're stopping at the same places, and so you get to know each other a little better. And you know, when you're walking all this way and you're getting tired and kind of worn down, people tend to drop their defenses and they seem to be a little more open. But I think they're always fascinated when they find out why we're doing this. And that now it's not out of the ordinary for people on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. You find all kinds of people are walking for religious purposes, because at the end of the day there's a pilgrim's mass, you get a pilgrim blessing. People that are even walking it for secular reasons will go to those masses and receive a blessing. So they're kind of searching for it. This one, people seem to be a little more surprised that we were walking this for religious purpose. The few times that we were able to tell somebody, I was getting my beard trimmed in Melrose the day before we were walking, and I had the most entertaining barber in the world, and he's from Scotland, so you can catch about half of what he's saying. But he was just a great guy, really, really good guy. And he was fascinated that we were walking this, and then out of nowhere, he just says, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a Catholic bishop," and my priest buddy, Father Burke, was over in the corner, and I said, "He's a priest." I pointed at him. And then a little later, Coakley and Conley came into the room. I said, "Those are bishops, too." He was fascinated, so it just opened up a chance to talk about that. And he said, I remember in a kind of a very general way, he goes, "Everybody needs a spiritual purpose in their life."
Yeah.
So I agree. And so it opened the door up to talk a little bit about Christ with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'll never forget that guy.
That's amazing. Yeah, those are the best encounters when you meet people like that.
Ollie was his name, and his name of his shop was Ollie the Barber.
Ollie the Barber. All right. So if you're ever in, what was the name of the town?
Melrose.
Go to Ollie the Barber.
There he is. Two King Charles Spaniels.
Oh, that's
or Cocker Spaniels. I can't remember. He was happy to tell me that one of them wasn't an American.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
All right, well, do you have any advice? So for those who maybe want to try their first pilgrimage, should they start small? Should they go with like a tour group? Do you have any tips for them?
I think tour groups are a great idea, especially if you can do it with maybe your local parish or your diocese. You know, I've done a number with like Patrick Madrid, who has a national radio show on Relevant Radio. And the reason I say that is because to do them on your own, there's a good chance that you might miss some things, and you might not be able to get into certain things, as opposed to if you're on a tour group And then you're able to get into places. They have things planned for you. They set your hotels. They set your meals. All these different things. I think that's really, really helpful. That's kind of talking big places. Like, you know, if you want to go to Rome, Assisi, if you want to go to the Holy Land, if you want to go to, Lourdes or Fatima, some of these different places. But then, you know, if, you know, I know, you know, those things do cost money. And so if it's that's maybe not in your budget, I would say look for things on more on a local level. They recently built the new shrine to Blessed Stanley Rother in Oklahoma City. There's places in the United States where you can to go and make it a little easier. The National Basilica, the shrine in Wisconsin to Our Lady. All sorts of different places. You know, even one year we did a bus tour of all the missions in California.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and then even here in our own state, we have places that are historic.
Yeah.
Places to visit, the old church in Laguna that was built in 1699, or the church at Sky City that's built in 1629, or, you know, the cathedral in Santa Fe that has, you know, the part of that church is 400 years old, and so there's ways that you can do that on a local level. But then, you know, maybe you're somebody that can't get out of the house. Maybe you're somebody that would be something that's very difficult. I think what you can do is you can get books on these places, and read them, and, you know, do an interior pilgrimage. Because, you know, a pilgrimage is supposed to parallel or model what we're doing on this earth, and our goal, because in a pilgrimage you always have a goal, and our goal in life is to make it to heaven, and so a pilgrimage is to mirror that or parallel that here on earth, our earthly pilgrimage. And so, you know, it really is just it's a journey with God. It's a journey with Christ, that movement forward with Jesus Christ. And so if you're unable to get out, or if any of these other things aren't a possibility for you too, to get a nice book on a pilgrimage and to make a pilgrimage that way. Yeah, through reading and through prayer. And I think that's one of the things we do every day when we're walking on the pilgrimage is we always pray the rosary. So that'd be a nice other added element to it, maybe if you're doing a more of an interior pilgrimage on the Holy Land, to read the Gospels along with the sites that you're reflecting upon in some sort of travel book.
Awesome. All right. Any final thoughts for us, Bishop?
I can't recommend them enough. Yeah. I really can't. I can't recommend them enough. I just think they're always a spiritual experience, and you always get something out of them, and you always, if you're open to it, you're always going to walk away, stronger in your faith. And I think that's something that's really important.
And they're good for families, too. My uncle and his son did the Father Emil Capon Walk, and mm-hmm. It was a great bonding experience, too. So
yeah, we run into people all the time on the Camino that are doing it as families. Or I talk to friends who will say, well, I want to wait and go until my son is this age or my daughter is this age. I know that this next pilgrimage that I'm going to the Holy Land, I know there's I think there's a family of six on it. I think there's a family of four on it. One of their children can't go because I think she's in med school.
Mm-hmm.
And my last pilgrimage to the Holy Land, I remember there was a grandmother, two daughters, and then two granddaughters of one. They're the daughters of one of the daughters that were on the pilgrimage. And the two girls, the granddaughters, were receiving this as a gift from their grandmother because they had recently been confirmed.
Wow.
And they were confirmed during the COVID time and things finally opened up. And so they were fifth graders, and they added so much life to our pilgrimage. I don't know what it would have been like without them. And they were great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or your Ireland pilgrimage. I went with my grandma and my aunt.
Yeah,
that was an experience.
That, yeah, that was a family experience,
yeah,
too.
I wouldn't give it up for the world, so
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and you always have those memories with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've done a number of pilgrimages with my mom, and One of the pilgrimages that we did was Fatima to Lourdes, and stopping in Compostela on the way. And that was during the 100th anniversary of Fatima. And her sister, my aunt, went with us on that, and I'll never forget. That's a treasure that I'll always have. And I think my next pilgrimage to the Holy Land, my brother and his wife, one of my brothers and his wife, and one of my sisters and her husband are going with us. So
oh, wow.
I'll have family.
That'll be great.
I'll have family to contend with on this next pilgrimage.
Excellent. All right, well, would you close us out with a prayer?
Sure. May the Lord in his love and his mercy pour his spirit upon you and bless you and keep you. And may he guide your footsteps in ways which are level and smooth so that you might arrive at your earthly pilgrimage in the new and heavenly Jerusalem. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Bishop Wall.
Thanks, Suzanne.